Praise the Lord. We're going to talk today about our victory over our fleshly nature. Maybe some of you have never heard teaching on this before, and that's all right, because we'll show you in the scripture where, you know, after we are born again, after we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we still have that old nature that's in us that doesn't always want to walk with God or yield to God. And we can, by the grace of God and the mercy of God and His help, we can learn to walk with God. And we call that, the scripture calls it, the walking in the Spirit. In other words, yielding yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and doing what He wants in your life. That's what walking in the Spirit is. So we're going to turn in our Bible to the 1 Corinthians to chapter 15. And we're going to bow our heads right now and ask the Lord to bless this word of God to our hearts and help us to just be really edified by it and learn something from it. Hallelujah. Our God is a faithful God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord, for all that you do, for all of your wondrous works, Father. Oh, Father, I can't thank you enough for the many, many times in my lifetime you have helped me and given me strength, Lord God, as well as every person who is here today that knows Jesus as their Savior. I know, Father, that you have helped them. You have strengthened them at times of trouble and all the sorts of things. We ask you right now, Father, that this holy word of God that goes forth will help each of us just to learn more things about you and glorify you in our lives and fully yield to you, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we're going to begin reading with verse 45. This is Apostle Paul speaking, and he is telling us about kind of contrasting Adam in the Old Testament, who was the first man, and then the Lord Jesus Christ. In this verse 45 that we're going to read, he says, "In the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." And so when he says that, he's not meaning that the Lord Jesus Christ is Adam from the Old Testament. But Adam was the first man, wasn't he, of the first creation. God created Adam. But who is the first person of the new creation? The Lord Jesus Christ. So in this way, Apostle Paul is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not a natural man like Adam was. Adam was a natural man, and of course, what did he do? He sinned. God told him not to do what he did, and yet he was convinced, his wife wanting to go ahead and eat of those trees that God had told him not to eat, and so it caused sin to come upon the world. That's why you and I, all of us, have a sinful nature. Even though we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, that sinful nature hasn't just been taken out of our life. It's there, and our victory in the Lord every day is to walk with God and let Him take that sinful nature and mash it down so it doesn't represent who we are. Praise the Lord. So Adam, the first Adam, was a living soul, and you'll find that in Genesis, the second chapter, verse 7. That's exactly what the scripture says back there, that Adam was made a living soul. It says that God made him out of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him, and he was a living soul. But now we have a different person that is very dear to God. It's God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the last Adam. He is, the Bible tells us in other places, He is the head of the new creation. Now, what does that mean? God created the earth in the Old Testament. He had created human beings. They're all over the world, everywhere. They're human beings. And God did all of that way, way back there in time. But the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene way back about over 2,000 years ago now. He came as a little babe on this earth. And he is the Son of God, though he is the Son of Man also. And he is now in the heavens after he gave his life for us, for our sins to be forgiven. He has given his life for us. And so he's called the last Adam. There's never going to be another person who's head of the creation of God. See, Adam, the old Adam, he was the first man in the creation of God. But there's a new creation now. And the new creation in the Lord is all of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are now part of the new creation. You're a part of the new creation. God doesn't want you to be like the old creation. We all have that nature, you know that. It didn't go away or hide itself somewhere. The old nature of the old creation, where Adam was disobedient, and people from now on and from that time, people have been disobedient to God. But when we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, we have a new life. Christ has come into our heart and our life, and he's here in us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he is a life-giving spirit. See that in that verse? It says the last Adam was a quickening spirit. That word in the Greek, it represents this. It means this: a life-giving spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. He is a spirit being now. But if we would meet him today, we would know who he is, because he still has the scars on his body. He still has the places on his head where his crown was plunged into his head. He is a life-giving spirit. And as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a new life. The life of Christ, it's called born again in the New Testament, John 3, that he that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be born again into a new person. We have the life of Christ within us. That is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus Christ is a life-giving spirit. Praise the Lord. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 12, it says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So there wouldn't be any death in this world if it hadn't been that Adam sinned in that garden. He knew God had told him not to eat of those certain trees. And it was a test, wasn't it, to see what he would do. And, of course, his wife convinced him. And so they ate of the tree. And when they did that, sin entered into the world. And so all people who are born in this world need the Lord. They don't have Jesus in their heart just automatically. It requires that person come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is so important. If we don't know that, then we're not going to heaven one of these days. But praise the Lord, our home is a heavenly place. And that's what God has decreed for us, that all who believe in his name will be there in the heavens with the Lord one of these days. Praise the Lord. So the human race needed Christ. They needed Christ. And Christ died for us. He gave up his own life for us that we might be saved. Our spirit to be quickened, as we read and said a while ago, that Christ was a quickening spirit. Yes, it brought us alive. Did you know that? Before we knew Jesus, we were dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. But now that we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we've accepted him into our life, we are alive. The Bible says we are alive forevermore. Praise the Lord. We are alive forevermore. One of these days, we're going to go to heaven. The Lord is going to come and take us away into heaven. Praise the name of Jesus. So Adam brought about a natural birth, didn't he? We all were born of natural parents. But praise the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross brought about a spiritual birth. A birth that when we believe in the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we ask him to save us, we are made a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are saved. We are born again, the scripture says. And we have a spiritual birth. And Jesus said this in John 3:3. He said, Jesus said, you must be born again. We cannot receive the blessings of God and the salvation and the great wonderful thing about going to heaven if we pass away from this life or Jesus would come back again, which is, we believe, is very soon. But by receiving Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, our inner spirit, we have, all of us have an inner spirit. We're three parts. We're body, soul, and spirit. And that spirit inside of us will receive the Lord Jesus Christ if we let him, let that happen to us. Notice in verse 46 right here in 1 Corinthians 15, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. All right, every one of us have had a natural birth, haven't we? But in order to have this spiritual birth, it has to happen in our life that we actually accept Jesus Christ. If we haven't received Jesus Christ today, I beseech you to receive Jesus as your Savior. It's really important. Verse 47 says, the first man is of the earth earthy, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. We're not dealing with the old man, the old Adam. Now, the old nature dwells in us because we are children of Adam. But one of these days, we're going to be in the heavens with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can hardly wait for that to happen. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. That's an admonition, you see, not just that we receive Christ and then go our way and live in the world and don't recognize the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but that we know that this body that we have is now a temple of the Lord. He lives in us. He lives in us. Every day he is right here with us to guide us and to show us the way. He's right here. Oh, I don't know what I would do without the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Most of you don't know this, but my husband and I came here about 41 years ago, and we started pastoring this church. And now my husband has gone to be with the Lord. And my child, one of my children, is with the Lord. Praise the Lord. My dear grandson, the only grandson I have, is now with the Lord. But praise the Lord, I'm so thankful because they received Christ. They received Christ, they know, and I have confidence, and I know where they are. That changes a whole thing in our life when we can positively say, I belong to Jesus. I know Jesus is my Savior, and praise the Lord. He says we're not our own. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to the Lord Jesus when we know Jesus is our Savior. And so he says, because we've been bought with this price, what was the price? Jesus Christ giving his life. He died on that cross. His blood was poured out on the ground. It wasn't just a little bit of dripping from his hands and his feet. They cut his side and the blood ran out all over the ground. And that shows the wonderful goodness of God, how that the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin and washed away all of our sins as we believe in him and claim this victory that we are the children of the living God. You are bought with a price. It was a great price, wasn't it? Oh, yes, Jesus paid the price that we owed. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, that he did that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. we read in that same chapter that we were looking at there, 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at verse 47. It says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The first person who was the head of the first creation, Adam, he was an old man that was of the earth, earthy. That's what he was made of. And he didn't obey God right away, but he learned later. God made a sacrifice for him, and he learned to follow God. And it says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. See, those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're earthy people. They are living for this earth, whatever is capable for them to do or have in this earth. But he says, as is the heavenly, such are also they that are heavenly. How do you become a heavenly person? You receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and believe that he died for you on the cross, and you become a new creation. That's what the scripture says. We have a new life. He has come into our life, and we are new. Praise the Lord. We are a new creature. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is what that verse says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And some translate it new creation. It says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Whoever thought of this? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They planned all of this, praise the Lord, that the Son of God would come to this earth as a little babe and grow up to be a human, an adult human man of 33 years old and give his life for us, for our sins. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. Hallelujah. So if you're in Christ, what does that mean? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If we're in Christ, that means we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have accepted the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided. And now we are in that group of people that are the children of the living God. We're his children. We belong to him. Praise the Lord. We are a new creation. And old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That happens in our life after we know the Lord Jesus, but it doesn't take place all at one time. It's a growth that happens in our life where the old things that we really cared about in life back there, those old things just gradually are not interesting to us anymore. If we yield our faith, our life to Christ, if we walk really in the Spirit with the Lord Jesus Christ, he changes us. And we honor and worship the Lord God, number one. That's number one in our life. And that's what God wants. All provision is made for us by God. Everything we need. It isn't self-effort. The scripture plainly teaches that. It isn't that I decide I am going to be good. I am not going to do such and such. It won't work. Every one of us know that, don't we? I think all of us do. We decide we're going to change. We're going to do something wonderful, and everybody's going to notice how great we are. And it just doesn't work out. But when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our life, he gives us a new life, and we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, like this verse says. He is a new creation. The old things start to pass away because they're not interesting to us anymore. We know that the Lord wants us to follow him and walk with him and yield our lives to him, and they're passed away. And all of a sudden, things just become new. God just does that work in our lives, and he changes us into that being that he wants us to be, a person that really loves him supremely, that follows all the scriptures and things that he has given to us to follow and to love him. It's so important to love God. Love God more than you love yourself, more than you love your children, more than you love another person. But to love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your mind, you will be greatly blessed if you do that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Romans 8:14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become the children of the living God. A lot of places it says sons. That doesn't make me feel bad because I'm a woman. That makes me know that in God's sight, I am his child. I am his child. You are the child of the living God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are his children. Another thing, he wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what the scripture says. He wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, the book that says, this is a child of God. This is my child. And so he writes our name there. And all the blessings of God belong to us because we are the children of the living God. Isn't that beautiful? I hope all of us have prayed here to God. But, you know, I'm telling you, it really helps to pray. Sometimes we think we can't go on. We just don't seem to have enough money for things. Or maybe we don't have certain other things that we think we need. And a lot of times people don't think about praying to God to help us. But oh, how much he loves us. And if we belong to him as his child, he wants to help us. Hallelujah. So we have this right in him. I have a right as a U.S. citizen. Sometimes I kind of wonder about those guys up there, but you know, I know what the law allows, don't you? What do we have in Christ? What do we have because Jesus died for us? And by our receiving him as our Savior, my goodness, we are greatly blessed. We are so blessed. We can call him our Father. The scripture calls him Abba, Father. And if you look at that word Abba, which is in our King James Version, it puts it in there. It speaks of the situation where a true child in the olden times, in the times of the Bible, could call their dad in that house daddy, but the servants' children could not call him that. They could not call the daddy of the whole place, the person who was in control of everything, the man who owned everything, like our God, our Heavenly Father. They couldn't have the servants go around calling him daddy, but the child had that place. You and I have a place. That's what I call my daddy. We always called him daddy, Claire, up until he passed away. He was daddy. And that's the way that it is with God. Our God is our Father. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. Let's turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. And we're going to look at chapter 8. Romans 8. These are verses that many of us already have had over and over and over, but I think that it's good a lot of times to really just look again to see. And we're going to read that same verse that I referred to, but we're going to look here beginning with verse 15. It says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage, and that's speaking of slavery, again, to fear, but we have received a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And this word adoption is not like what we think of in the world today where someone adopts a child. That's not what it is. It's actually that we are born of God. And that's what Jesus said. He said, if you come and you are born again, that you will have everlasting life. And so when he speaks of the word adoption here, it means placing as a son. We are placed as the children of God when we receive him as our Lord and Savior. That should be so great in our estimation. That should mean so much to us, that he loves us so much, that God, he gave his only begotten son that we might become the children of God. Hallelujah. Verse 15, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, the spirit of children, of son placing, whereby we cry out, Daddy, Father, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness in our spirit that we are the children of God. I hope everybody here that knows Jesus as your Savior has a witness inside of your heart that you are the child of God. You have eternal salvation. You have eternal salvation. It's wonderful. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still his child, and he loves you so much. He wants you to follow him. He wants you to obey what he says, but he loves you always. Verse 16, the Spirit, and it says itself, but the Spirit is not an it, it's a him. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. I can't say that often, can I? And often enough, we are the children of the living God. Praise the Lord. And then verse 17, and if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. A joint heir is someone who shares the heirship. Say, like if I was going to inherit $1 million and I would want to help out some relative, I'd say, oh, come along, I'll help you, and you can be part of this. But that's what the Lord Jesus did. He said, come and believe in me, and you will be not only heirs of God, but you will be joint heirs. You are going to receive all the things that God has. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. Don't cut yourself short on what God has for you, because he is a great God. And I wrote in my margin of my Bible, he will share his glory with us. He will share all of his wonderful good things for us. Praise the Lord. If so be that we suffer with him, we'll be joint heirs if we suffer with him. You know, in those days of Paul's, boy, they made Christians suffer, really suffer. Apostle Paul, I saw one time where he was cast into this big vat, this huge thing. It was as big as half of this building here where they stored something in, and they threw him down in that and made him live in that over in Rome. That's a horrible thing to think about. I don't know for sure if that was true, but what the paper, the word that I was reading, the article I was reading that said, but if so be that we suffer with him, Apostle Paul really suffered with him. And a lot of the other Christian believers, the disciples, they all suffered with Christ. They really went through a lot. Peter was crucified upside down because he said, I will not be crucified like the Lord Jesus Christ upright. And he let them crucify him upside down. Apostle Paul, his head was chopped off at the last because he was a Roman citizen also, and they couldn't just stone him to death or something. So they chopped his head off in the last. Did that make him defeated? He's on high with the Lord, isn't he? He says that we may also be glorified together. We have to go through sufferings and trials many times because the Lord wants to work things in our life. And usually, if everything's just hunky-dory and we don't have any problems, we don't really pray like we should. We don't really follow the Lord like we should. But when we come to these trials in our life, these tests, that's the real hard thing, isn't it? But the Lord does. He works in our lives. Oh, praise the Lord. And he gives us the strength, hallelujah, to walk with him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Notice in verse 17 there where it says, oh, this is in Galatians. Let's turn to the book of Galatians. We're going to end up here probably in this chapter, but let's go to the book of Galatians, and we're going to just read a little bit about our fleshly nature that each of us has. Before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ, we only had one nature. That's a human nature. And that's all we were capable of, was just to follow those leadings of our human self. But now we have the life of Christ. If we know Jesus as our Savior, Christ is in our hearts and in our lives. And in this verse 16 of Galatians 5, it says, "And this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walking in the Spirit, it means following the Lord. I'm not out here literally walking up and down in the aisle or something and saying I'm walking in the Spirit. It's walking in, letting the Holy Spirit control my life, letting Christ rule my heart. And the same with you, following the Lord, following his way that he directs us in. Praise the Lord. And verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Every one of us here has this problem. Everyone. Even if you're a born-again person, you have an old nature. That old nature has been there since we were born, and it came into our life, and probably as a little kid, we kicked our feet and screamed and hollered when we didn't get our way. That shows the nature of the old nature, the creation, the old creation before we were accepted Christ. Praise the Lord. But once we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit that is in us, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ's Spirit. Hallelujah. And these are contrary to one another. There's a battle that goes on in our life. The old fleshly nature wants its way and wants to do so-and-so. And our new life of Christ speaks to us and says, no, this is not what the Lord wants in your life now. I'm sure that each of you who know Jesus have had that experience. Praise the Lord. But God is a faithful God. But this is why it's so hard to break a habit or stop doing something that we know we need to have victory over, is that we have that old nature. So what on earth do we do? What on earth can we do? We've got this old nature that's in there that's always trying to do the wrong things, say the wrong things. Praise the Lord. Once you have Jesus Christ in your life, he lives in you. And he lives in me, and he helps us all the time. He helps us all the times. We couldn't live in life. I couldn't live here if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ helping me all the time. He gives me the strength, and the Holy Spirit works and gives me the strength. And I know that's the same way with you. So praise God for that. That the Holy Spirit is working in our lives to change us and to make us yielded to God. And you know what? Walking with God is the most wonderful thing. It is the most wonderful thing. It is so great in our lives to just be at peace, to know Jesus, to just feel his presence, to know he cares about us. And all the tests and all the hard knocks and all the trials. And don't ever look at me and think, oh, she never had any trials, or she wouldn't talk like that. I've had so many different kinds of trials in my life. But my God was always faithful to me, even as a child. Even as a child, God was there and led me and showed me what to do. And he does the same for each of us. He really cares about us. He wants us just to come to him and just say, I love you, and I want to please you, and I want you to help me, God. Help me, God. Be willing just to to let the Lord help us and take care of us. Praise the name of Jesus.